Sportscast, March 16th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe at all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This show is sponsored by Insta Bible app, Great Verses and Pictures. Download Insta Bible in the Apple App Store for iPhone. We are back for our second show of the day. NFL free agency has begun since 12 p.m. A couple of tags happening throughout the league. Biggest move today was Texans sending DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals for David Johnson. We had Ryan Krista earlier today. Now we have a double treat, Justin Riley and Kyle Borden, to recap the day. Welcome back to the Sportscast, guys.
Thank you.
Hi, man. Glad to be here on a very busy Monday where sports supposedly is shut down.
Exactly. NFL definitely did not slow down at all. It felt like it was 2019. Nothing business as usual. Let's start with Kyle. Kyle, how surprised were you to see DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Cardinals?
I was very shocked when I saw it. I was like, what the hell is Bill O'Brien doing? I mean, since August, the Texans have traded Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins, Rankin, Julian Davenport. I was like very, very shocked to see. It's great for Kyler Murray. Now Larry Fitzgerald no longer has to be that number one option. You still have Christian Kirk there. So I was very surprised to see. I was surprised because you just came off that devastating loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was really surprised for them to see what does this mean for their star quarterback, Deshaun Watson. I mean, Will Fuller's in the number one. Kike Kute is in the number one. So what does this mean for Deshaun Watson as you lose a guy who's caught 504 catches, second in the last 5 years, 6,590 receiving yards, which is second in the NFL in the last 5 years, 46 receiving touchdowns. I mean, what does this really mean for Watson? Is he going to really be happy with Bill O'Brien as a general manager? I never felt like Bill O'Brien should have got the GM side to begin with. Never felt like he was a great coach to start with. And now him as a GM is just shady business. I definitely think that raised a lot of eyebrows today.
Justin, how good are the Cardinals now? Now with Hopkins, now they're tagging Kenyon Drake. Will they be a force in the NFC West?
Well, they're certainly making a lot of noise to make us believe that they will be a force out there. This is absolutely huge, and this is definitely news I was not expecting. I haven't seen a lot of notifications throughout the day. Never did I ever imagine, you know, one of these deals, a blockbuster deal, would go down. It makes perfect sense for Arizona, who's just trying to get better and try to get out of the cellar of the NFL. To be honest with you, I thought, you know, in order to help the wide receiver core, they would, you know, go via the draft to solve that issue. No, they decided to go with one of the best wide receivers in the league and getting DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick along with him. Now, you have to question the Texans and their thought process here. They're not making very good decisions at all, like Kyle said. You know, they've gotten rid of some very key players, and it doesn't look like it's an organization that's really wanting to move forward. It's kind of similar to Jacksonville Jaguars, where they've been making some deals where they're just sending all their great players right out the door. And you just kind of left scratching your head if you're a fan of one of these franchises. Yeah, like you said, Arizona is on the up and up. And yes, Kenyon Drake has the transition tag placed on him right now, meaning he can talk to teams. But, you know, if Arizona decides to decline whatever offer he has on the table, you know, they have the option to do so. Drake was a breath of fresh air for that offense. He came in midseason over from the Dolphins, added 643 yards and 8 touchdowns after joining the Cardinals, and definitely provided a spark that they were looking for. That David Johnson just is not doing. You know, I don't really understand the upside of Johnson going to the Texans. The Texans are getting an old war horse that's just beaten down. He hasn't really done anything of significance for quite some time. I don't know if he can recapture that. Who knows? But like I said, it's a head scratcher.
Kyle, what are the Texans trying to do? Are they doing a restart, or we don't know what they're doing?
I don't know what they're doing because, again, I mean, you trade a guy who has 632 catches in the first seven seasons. He's tied with Antonio Brown for the second most in the history of the NFL through seven seasons. Marvin Harrison at 665. I'm not sure what they did. You obviously had that devastating loss to the Chiefs. I mean, this is Deshaun Watson's number one target. I mean, he's been one of the best receivers consistently over the last 5 years in the NFL. I'm not sure what they're doing. You traded away Jadeveon Clowney. It's not like he has this great history of drafting players. So I'm really not sure what they're doing. You're in a winnable division, the AFC South. I mean, you should win your division. The Colts obviously got better. The Colts made an underrated move today, picking up DeForest Buckner. That was a great move by Chris Ballard over there in Indianapolis. I mean, I'm not sure what they're thinking. You were going to win your division. I mean, you're one of the three best teams, supposed to be one of the three best teams in the AFC. I'm not really sure what they're doing and what they're bringing back. Even if they said him, there was some speculation him and Bill O'Brien didn't know what he eye to eye. If that was the case, I mean, they still didn't get enough back on the value of a player like Hopkins caliber. A running back and a fourth-round pick is just too short.
Right now, that will go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, let me add to it. Keep this in mind, too. If they're trying to look to the draft to find their next great wide receiver, they don't have a pick until the second round at number 57. So, again, I ask why.
Right now.
But even then,
go ahead.
Even then, I still think you could get a quality receiver. I still think you could get a quality receiver because this class is very deep in terms of wide receivers. But even then, that doesn't still make sense.
Right now, they have Will Fuller and Kenny Stills. Apparently, that is not enough for the wide receiver core of the Houston Texans. Justin, let's go into Tennessee. A big shout to Tom Brady. Titans signed Tannehill, a four-year contract, $118 million. Are you okay with that signing?
To be honest with you, no. And let me tell you why. He had one good season, and that's it. And it bothers me because here you have Derrick Henry, who led the NFL with 1,540 yards, won the NFL rushing title. He also led the NFL in yards per carry with 5.1. He's the man who needs to be paid. He is your franchise guy. He doesn't need to be the franchise tag guy. To me, that's an insult. You know, he's the first running back ever to get franchise tagged after leading the NFL in rushing the previous season. You know, entering the AFC Championship game, he accounted for 69% of the total offense generated by the Tennessee Titans. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, it looks like Tannehill had a resurrection of his career, or actually he just kind of started getting going. But 1 year isn't really enough for me to warrant giving that kind of money out, and then also passing on the opportunity to get Tom Brady, who's arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, if not the best quarterback. I just wouldn't have basically sold the farm for Tannehill.
We'll go Kailu. Kailu, was it okay to pick Tannehill over Tom Brady, maybe considered the greatest quarterback of all time?
This is really annoying, but I do agree. I think Derrick Henry is the man. Everybody knows Derrick Henry is the man in Tennessee. However, it's just the nature of the position. They're never going to get a running back. They're never going to get a running back more money than a quarterback. I think it's very unfair. I do 100% agree. $62 million, $118. He only really gets between $62 and $91 million in guarantee. It's just one of those things where it's the nature of the position. I disagree. I think Derrick Henry is the man of the team, but it is the nature of the position. So, granted, you know.
Justin, we'll go with Derrick Henry with you. Will Tennessee will they sign Derrick Henry, or you think with this move it might not happen?
It may not happen. And to be honest with you, if I'm Derrick Henry, even though he's a team guy, he doesn't really strike me as a guy that's going to be all about money. But the fact is, you know, if I'm Derrick Henry, and I know I am the man, I deserve a little bit more respect than what I'm getting. And I think, you know, it may add a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So it may affect, you know, his overall attitude. But then again, I go back, he's a team guy. He's a humble guy. And he's not like the majority of players you see these days. But I think inside it does kind of hurt. But, yeah, he should get paid. You know, he's proven himself through and through. He's been consistent. Whereas Tannehill, like I said, he's the flavor of the week guy.
Feels like a Joe Burrow type of thing.
Well, we'll see, but you know, I just don't, I don't believe in flavor of the week guys where they have one good outing or they have a good combine or do this or that, and then all of a sudden just willing to empty out your wallet to pay a guy who's not, they don't have the consistency that would warrant it.
Kyle, obviously Tom Brady had the Titans as a choice. Raiders are not interested anymore. So as the Chargers reportedly. Now it's come down to the Bucks and the Patriots. Where do you think he'll end up?
I think evaluating both of the options, I think if it's between those teams, I would just go back to New England. I mean, I wouldn't go to Tampa Bay. I've said this. You're going to be going to the harder conference. I mean, in the AFC East, I don't think they're no longer locked to win their division, as most people are going to think next year. People are going to say they're a lock. I think the Bills are an up and up. I don't think they're going to be a lock. I'd rather, if I was Tom and it was between those two choices, I'd rather be on the Patriots, because in the Buccaneers, you're going to be dealing with the NFC. You're going to be dealing with all those teams in the NFC. You're not going to be guaranteed to win your division. You're going to be dealing with the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons just got better, so I would just go back and with the Patriots.
Justin, within the last hour, the Cleveland Browns signed veteran quarterback Case Keenum for a 3-year, $18 million with a guarantee of $10 million. Was this tell you anything with Baker, or he'll be just a super backup?
I think that basically that Case Keenum is a great insurance policy. Because we really don't know what Baker Mayfield is going to do. He's kind of the wild card right now. He's kind of up in the air. He's kind of stuck in the middle of possibly being great or possibly being a colossal dud. We just don't know which side he's going to fall into. But bringing in Keenum, it, like I said, has a little bit of an insurance policy. You got a safety valve. You got a guy with experience. Who can do good things if called upon? Is he a world beater? No, but you know he's not going to get your organization in trouble.
We're doing a round robin here. Back to Kyle. The Giants are making a strong push to sign former Packers linebacker Blake Martinez. They're also linked to having Clowney, Jordan Jenkins, and Corey Littleton. Who do you like, Kyle, so far?
I think Littleton is a definitely good walker. He's like a Johnny on a spot guy. He gets a lot of fumbles. So I definitely think Blake Martinez is good. The Giants could go a different ways. Obviously, they can use to stop the run. They brought back Leonard Williams. It was Leonard Williams. They brought him back, so they could obviously go a lot of different ways. But I think they should definitely, out of all of those guys, Blake Martinez is the one.
Justin, Ravens guy Calais Campbell yesterday, was that a good move for the Ravens?
Well, absolutely was, man. You got a guy who, as a seasoned veteran, a guy that just gets the job done day in and day out. Thing is, he was on a bad team. Now we're looking to have quite a defense, man. Great move in getting Judon's as the franchise guy. Now bringing in this great veteran that is hungry. And he's ready for something more than what he's been getting at Jacksonville. He just takes that defense to a whole nother level. Definitely is going to make that defensive line probably the best in the NFL, or at least in the AFC. So I'm very excited about this. Now if we can just take care of that linebacker position, going to be set.
We'll go back to Cleveland. We'll stick with Justin on this one. Austin Hooper to the Browns, highest paid tight end. How about that move? What'd you think?
Incredible move by Cleveland. I was kind of shocked that the Falcons let him go, to be honest with you. I kind of felt like they were, cutting Freeman loose to try to free up some salary room or cap room to give Austin Hooper a better contract. However, it doesn't happen, and then he send him to Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland, it just adds another insurance policy, you know. You know, you got a deep threat, you know, over the middle guy, somebody who's proven and can be that extra weapon that Baker Mayfield is going to need. And he's somebody who's consistent and doesn't bring a lot of baggage or drama to the table like his main two targets there in Odell and Landry. But just a super move, and the Browns are ready to start winning and start winning right away. They're a desperate organization, so they felt like they had to make this move. Now, I don't feel like the Atlanta really benefited well. They actually ended up getting Hayden Hurst from the Ravens, a guy that was drafted in the first round that really hasn't produced all that well. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who comes out on the better side. I think the Browns here are the winners.
Kailu Njoku, another tight end in the Browns, possibly starting behind Austin Hooper. What does that tell you about Njoku?
I like the move for the Browns. I think it adds more thing. I think it's a very important year for Baker. He's in his third year. Freddie Kitchens, Hugh Jackson. And now they brought up Stefanski from the Vikings, their offensive coordinator. I think that's a very huge move for the Browns. But I like their other move that they made, bringing in Jack Conklin, 3 years, $30 million guaranteed, $42 million. I think that's really important for Baker because they have a lot of skill positions. Last year, they had Odell. They had Nick Chubb. They had Kareem Hunt. But I still think they need to address the O-line position because last year with the Browns, they had a lot of weapons. And even though Odell does create a lot of dysfunction, I do think that they had a lot of weapons. I do think for them, it's going to be more about what they do with the offensive line, more so than what they do with their receiving core and their tight end core.
Let's take Absolutely. This plane from Cleveland to Dallas. Let's settle a little bit. Let's wait for the exchange. Cowboys put a franchise tag over Dak Prescott, Justin. They did not give him a big contract. They're going to wait it out for another year. What does this tell you? Did you think they like the Cowboys shafted Dak, or like what were your thoughts?
I kind of felt like they did. I kind of feel like that it's an insult to a man that has been the one source of stability on the greatest circus in the NFL as of late. You know, it's just amazing seeing after Tannehill got that big deal, and then you know, it comes time for Dak to get his. And all they're willing to do is put a franchise tag on him worth $33 million. You know, which I just don't think is right. You know, this is a guy who was second in NFL in yards with 4,902, had 30 touchdowns. I just don't feel like that there's a long-term commitment to Dak. I just don't believe that the Cowboys believe in Dak. At least that's what it's saying. You know, of course, we have until July 15th. To figure out if they're actually going to work out a long-term deal. But for now, kind of stinks for me.
Kailu, thoughts?
I think it's smart business. Obviously, they like that Dak Prescott's been a huge, really good character guy for the team. However, I think it's smart business for them. I think he struggled against top 10 defenses. And even for the NFC East thing, when the division was on the line, he had all his weapons and he still struggled to beat Carson Wentz, who didn't have his top three targets, didn't have DeSean Jackson, didn't have a number of his top targets. His O-line was struggling. The Eagles' defense was really, really bad outside of Philadelphia. So I definitely think it was a good move. It's not saying that Dak Prescott's not going to get paid. And I always hate that the franchise tag is an insult because you're still making $33 million off the franchise tag. And you can end up being like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins used the franchise tag in his favor. Now he got rewarded with a two-year extension. Today, so the franchise tag is not always the greatest insult. It still gives you plenty of opportunities, and if they franchise tag him again, it continues to go up and skyrocket. So I don't think the franchise tag is always an insult.
We'll get into Kirk Cousins next, but before that, Justin, this will put Amari Cooper in the free agency, and Dallas will pursue them hard. Do you want Amari Cooper back in Dallas?
Well, absolutely. He's arguably one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He's just not getting as much press as others are, but he's a guy that kind of brought that offense to life. He's a home run threat every play, any moment he can just set it off, and that's a guy that you really need to grab, man. And you need to keep around that organization and build that offense around. So yeah, they need to jump on it and do it now.
Our stay in Dallas is over. We're heading up north back to Minnesota. Kailu, Minnesota signed Kirk Cousins for a two-year extension worth $66 million, $61 million guaranteed. Was this a good deal for Kirk?
I think it was a great move for the Kirk. I think the Vikings are going to end up regretting it down the line, but I think it's definitely a great move for Kirk Cousins. He has some playoff deficiencies, and he falls short in big moments, but he's great at getting his numbers, and he'll keep you in the game, and you'll win some divisions, but However, in the playoffs, he'll be limited. So,
Justin, is Kirk Cousins the man in Minnesota?
No, but for now, I mean, for the past two seasons combined, he's thrown for 7,901 yards and 56 touchdowns. And that's quite a lot. I think that he is deserving of this contract. I think the value is there. I certainly can understand this as opposed to what was given to Ryan Tannehill.
He's a target in the show, isn't he?
Yeah, at least with Cousins, I mean, is he a world beater? No. Is he a guy that we're going to be thinking Hall of Fame ballot? Probably not, but he's a guy who's been consistent throughout his career. He's been good, not necessarily great, but, you know, I can fathom giving him a good contract as opposed to one-year wonder over there in Nashville.
Kyle, who do you have anything to say, anything to say about Ryan Tannehill?
No, I don't think that. I think that Ryan Tannehill, obviously, they know Derrick Henry is the man. I just think it's one of those situations where the quarterbacks often are going to be paid the most money. I don't have any, like, knocks against Ryan Tannehill.
Something to definitely look at, of course. Derrick Henry, we'll see. I mean, I don't know what Tennessee's business capabilities, what is their cap. I mean, do they have enough to sign Derrick Henry, or would Derrick get a pay cut, Justin?
Well, no, he doesn't need a pay cut. If he gets a pay cut, then, you know, he needs to get out of there. You know, go to the Chiefs. I think they'll appreciate him a whole lot more there.
The Chiefs.
He'll get a Super
wow.
Bowl. He'll get a Super Bowl. You know, I got no problem with Tannehill the person. I'm not blaming him for this. You know, I'm blaming the organization for this. They need to put the value on the guy that is their franchise. You know, the thing is, they need elevated quarterback play. You know, that's the difference between getting to the AFC Championship game, getting beat by the Chiefs, and not making the Super Bowl. You have a good quarterback in there that's worth that kind of money, then we can talk about things. But Derrick Henry definitely needs someone there, he needs a quarterback that's going to take the pressure off him to where the defenses aren't keyed specifically on him, and that all of a sudden the offense gets neutralized. So I just don't think that Tannehill is the guy for that. So pay Derrick Henry.
Kyle, where would be a great spot for Derrick Henry?
I think he should stay in Tennessee. I think that he got franchise tag, so I think he should definitely stay in Tennessee. I think Tennessee is the place for Derrick Henry. However, I do agree. I think he should most certainly be paid. I mean, we saw what he did against the Chiefs, and we saw what he did against the Patriots. I think the man should be paid.
Something to definitely look on and look out for. Justin, Patriots signed Devin McCourty for $23 million.
Worth it. I mean, he was one of the best parts of that defense, a guy that's been the man year in and year out for them. And, you know, you got to pay the veteran what he's owed. And I think it's a good move on their part.
Kyle, we got breaking news with the Titans. They're re-signing offensive tackle Dennis Kelly to a three-year, $21 million deal with $8 million guaranteed. Thoughts?
I think it's worth it. I mean, he caught a touchdown last year against the Chiefs. I think it's definitely worth it. You want to protect your quarterback. Now that you got Ryan Tannehill there, you definitely want to protect your quarterback. You lost Jack Conklin, so you definitely need to protect your quarterback.
Justin?
Oh, yeah, man. You definitely need to protect the investment you just made in Tannehill.
Having the same day. Why not? Hopefully, we'll get Herneri by tonight.
I'm hoping. And you definitely need to protect the man. You know, let him continue to run wild. You got to have someone who's going to be able to open those lanes for him. But, yeah, great move. You got to protect what you got. You got to honor what you have. And that's what they needed to do. You know, I sure hate for old Tannehill to mess up a leg or something like that. All of a sudden you got all those millions of dollars out there. Then they might have to go to the draft and get Jalen Hurts to come in and handle business.
Protecting the investment. Okay, let's go.
Protect your investment.
Let's go a little bit on the round robin. Texans re-signed Bradley Roby. Kyle, thoughts?
I think it's good. J.J. Watt should be completely healthy this year. So, I mean, I still think they'll address the secondary in the draft. There's a lot of good secondary players in the draft, but I definitely like it.
Justin, Colts agreed to contract extension with longtime with Anthony Costanzo, left tackle.
Man, got to do that, man. You know, again, protect your investment. This is a guy that is very deserving of it, has definitely earned this extension. So you got to keep that guy happy.
Sticking with the Colts, Justin, do you think there is some interest with Philip Rivers? Do you mind if Philip Rivers goes to Indianapolis?
Do I mind? Not at all. I think it's a much better decision to go after him as opposed to Jordan Love, which a lot of people were projecting to happen with this draft. Of course, that's completely out of the question now that pick has been traded to the 49ers. And I hope we talk about that later in the show. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And you know, it's kind of a question as how long will he be there if he does come. But, you know, I guess the Colts in the playoff conversation, so it just kind of allows them to get to that next step. I think it'll be a good place for him to possibly close out his career.
Colts trade first-round pick for 49ers defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. What are your thoughts, Justin?
Oh, that's huge. I mean, they definitely need a beast out there on the defensive line. And, you know, they did the San Francisco a favor by relieving them of that hit against the salary cap. Now the 49ers, you kind of had to start asking yourself, you know, in this position at number 13, what direction will they go now? Do they look to replace what they just lost on the defensive line, possibly getting Javon Kinlaw or even Derrick Brown if he's still available? Honestly, I don't see Derrick Brown getting past the Jacksonville Jaguars. But some people are even speculating they could go wide receiver, Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. Definitely any of those three will be quite serviceable in my mind. Or are they thinking possibly quarterback? So this is going to be an interesting little piece of drama that we're going to be watching going into the draft.
You don't think Niners want to, you know, stick with Garoppolo?
I'm not saying I want to stick with him, but maybe get someone who can be the future. But they do need a guy at quarterback that's going to show up in every game and and not kind of fade out. You know, there are times where he didn't exactly turn in great performances. And you know, you can't just rely on that defense to bail you out. You can't just rely on the running game. You know, you got to have a little bit more from your quarterback.
Kyle Borden, what are your thoughts about Garoppolo?
I definitely think they got to keep Garoppolo. I think the Garoppolo, he didn't really play the best in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. He really struggled. I just think they're locked in with Garoppolo. I don't think they really have as much leeway as they're going to think that they have with Garoppolo. I think they're locked in. I just think they got to surround him with the pieces. I mean, he's got a very talented roster. I think they got to figure out a way to make it work. I think it gets a lot of it. Like, you want to make the position better. However, I do think that they just got to stay locked in with Garoppolo and hope for the best.
Sticking with Kailu, 49ers are giving defensive line Eric Armstead a 5-year deal, and he gets up to $85 million on his new deal. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Armstead.
I love this move. Defensive lineman with 10 sacks and 50 tackles last season. Cameron Jordan, 15.5 sacks, 53 tackles. Daniel Hunter, 14.5 sacks, 70 tackles. Joey Bosa, 11.5 sacks, 67 tackles. And Eric Armstead, 10 sacks and 54 tackles. I love this move for them. I think he was very good for them in the playoffs. He had 2 sacks and a forced fumble in three playoff games. While lining up on the interior. So I definitely love this move for them. They have that's why they were able to trade away Buckner, because they have like a lot of defensive tackles. They feel very loaded at the position. So I definitely think this is a good move for them, and they have Bosa and him and Bosa. So I definitely like it for them.
Justin, Eric Armstrong, do you love it or hate it?
Oh, absolutely love it, man. I mean, you keep that monstrous defensive line intact and you also have a guy that's a sack artist, you know, still there wreaking havoc for you. So, man, like the theme has been here recently, you know, protect your investment and, you know, and keeping that guy on that defense and keeping him happy by keeping his wallet fat. That's what you got to do.
A lot of deals going on this hour. So good thing you guys are on. Dolphins are signing former Bengals safety Clayton Fejelem to a 3-year deal. Justin, do you love it or hate it?
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's nothing really spectacular, but I mean, you know, good for him. He gets out of that hellhole that is Cincinnati.
Kailu, thoughts on Clayton Fegelin?
I like it for the Dolphins. I definitely like what they're doing. I mean, Eric Flowers, I mean, Reclamation Project. It didn't work out with the New York Giants. They brought him in there 3 years, $30 million, $19.95 guaranteed. So definitely for the Dolphins, it's just going to be bringing in players. I mean, last year you had an unplayable roster. You take a chance on Flowers. You bring some players in. For them, I definitely like it. You're going to have to stockpile in the draft. You have a lot of cap and free agency. Your coach finished strong. So it's definitely going to bring about bringing in players, drafting well, and making good use of that money that they have in free agency.
We know Justin thinks that Herbert will be going to the Dolphins in the NFL draft. Kailu, who do you think, which quarterback will go to the Dolphins?
I still think it's probably going to be Tua. I still think that the Redskins, even though a lot of people are saying they probably could end up taking Tua, I still think they're probably going to take Chase Young. I still think it's going to be Joe Burrow and Chase Young one or two. So I still think the Dolphins probably going to be like Tua.
Justin, what are the chances for Tua to go to the Dolphins?
Well, man, to be honest with you, I think it can be 50-50, Tua or Herbert. But, for me personally, I think that it's a slight edge to Herbert. I just think he's a fit for them. Nothing against Tua, but I'd rather him not go there, to be honest with you, especially when they are a project right now. But I think that Herbert can be a solid pick there, and the guy that can be, I feel like, will be in the league for a long, long time. My question is what are the Dolphins going to do with that second pick in the first round? Do they get Herbert or whoever may be a quarterback the extra help, possibly getting Jonathan Taylor, or maybe even getting a home run wide receiver? It looks like Henry Ruggs will probably be there. So, yeah, might be a pretty good grab. So, you know, the Dolphins are a very exciting team to watch in their first round. But, like I said, I kind of feel like it's more going to be Justin Herbert's team for the future.
Justin, Kailu actually wants Jerry Jeudy to go to the Giants.
Well, they definitely need a wide receiver. There's no question about that. They need an offense to come alive, and they need it to be more than Saquon Barkley. However, the biggest glaring need, and a lot of people just overlook this, is offensive line. They need a strong offensive lineman. You know, I get that, you know, you want the sexy player, you know, the wide receiver or the running back. But to be honest with you, if you can't pass to your wide receiver, you can't get your running back yards, what good is having them? None at all. So I honestly believe that they need to go offensive line with their pick.
You agree,
maybe
Kailu?
Jedrick Willis.
Yeah, I definitely think they do. But I think Willis more projects as a right tackle in the NFL. So I definitely think that they could definitely – you don't really typically draft a right tackle in the top 10. So,
Justin?
Well, I think that Willis, though, is a guy that they desperately need, you know. I think that that's a need that they need filled immediately. Don't make a decision just based on what's sexy to the fans by getting the skill guy. Get the roots firmly planted, and then go after the wide receiver. Like Kylie said earlier, you know, this is a very talented wide receiver class. So I feel like that, you know, later on, there's going to be some folks available for the Giants that can really help them long term.
Kailu, people are saying that the Giants should go for CeeCee Lamb over Jerry Jeudy. What do you think about that?
I definitely think that they should go with the best player on their board. So if they think that CeeCee Lamb is the best player on their board, I definitely think – I was looking at the Arizona Cardinals still getting another receiver – because I don't definitely think you could have enough skill players. I mean, you have Larry Fitzgerald. Adding DeAndre Hopkins is great, but you're gonna need to score a lot in the NFC, because in your division you have two runner ups. You have two runner ups in the Super Bowl, in the LA Rams and the 49ers. In the NFC, you're gonna need to score a lot of points, especially when you don't have a defense in the Arizona Cardinals. You're gonna need to score a lot of points, and you have Cliff Kingsbury coming in for his second season, so they're probably gonna be air raid offense anyway. So you're gonna need to score a lot of points. So why not go out there and get another receiver?
Anything else in the free agency, guys, that you saw today that really caught your eye?
Just the free agency in general, man, that was just wow. It was like a nonstop action-packed movie. And to be honest with you, it's something we really needed because, you know, we've been sitting here wallowing in our sorrows because we've had no sports activity, you know, and everything's been shut down. Man, this is like kind of watching a game almost. You just had so much, you know, going on. And it was like every second, you know, every time you blink, something's popping up on your phone. Something's popping up on your timeline, man. It was great to see that. And, you know, when you're in a situation like we are right now and, you know, things are just out of whack, things are in a state of desperation, anything that can give you any kind of sense of being normal, you know, you're grasping for it. And, man, what a great thing to grab for today. I mean, it's just been entertaining, and I've loved it.
Kailu?
Yeah, I definitely echo those sentiments. It's something that we needed. I didn't really expect much of it to begin with today. And then you see, like, news trickling. It's definitely something that we needed, especially at the time we were in our country. And just hope, like, everyone stays safe.
NFL definitely keeping the spirits high. Another big update that the NFL announced, they will not be postponing the NFL draft. It will not be in Las Vegas, but they're going to work out some kinks. Justin, what format would you like to see it? Would you like to see it live from Bristol and ESPN or at a different studio in New York City? What do you like to see for the NFL draft this year?
Well, the fact that there was even a debate on canceling is just absolutely absurd. Why would you need to cancel it when you can have the beauty of online or just doing it from a studio? I mean, you don't need people there. All you got to do is, you know, type some letters, push some buttons, and boom, you got it. To be honest with you, I don't care really where the venue is. I mean, if you want to be a purist, you know, why not do it in Bristol? You know, ESPN is what put the NFL draft on the map once you have it from headquarters. But, you know, I think that, you know, they can live stream it, and I think it'd be just as appealing, just as exciting. So I'm glad that we're going to have this happen. And like I said, to have it even be put in the question is ridiculous. So I'm glad that the panic didn't cause them to do something stupid.
Kailu?
I think it's best for the kids to make the individual decision what they want to do. I think it's best to have it in the NFL's war rooms. And then you could do some kind of stuff with ESPN and NFL Network where they mic the kids up and they give their reaction via social media. You could still get that same kind of entertainment that way.
Something to definitely look at. We'll definitely keep you guys up to date. The draft is April 23rd to the 25th. It would not be in Las Vegas, so it would definitely be a remote in-studio type of thing, but it'll definitely give a sports event to look at. And maybe some other sports like the NBA possibly be played with no crowds, but at least something could be done.
Well, my question is this, and I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
You know, if Vince McMahon and the WWE can have their wrestling events without fans present and still able to do their thing, you know, why can't we have sports do the same thing? I mean, come on, you know, look at all that contact in the WWE. Yeah, I get it. It's staged. It's choreographed. You know, however you want to describe it. But the fact these guys are close to each other, you know, I mean, they're still at risk for, you know, the coronavirus, but they're still doing their thing. They're still carrying on business as normal. And I'm kind of glad to see that the WWE is going on because, you know, I get it's not sports, but it gives us some form of sport and gives us something to watch. And again, you know, when you're in a time like this, you're grabbing for something normal. And, you know, having that on the TV, you know, it makes a difference. So I feel like if McMahon and his crew can provide their product, there has to be a way for other sports to follow suit.
We'll go to Kailu. Should the NBA be played behind closed doors?
I think they definitely will explore. I think as it gets longer, I think it's going to be tough for the NBA. I know they still want to play all the games. Well, from a logistical standpoint and going into next year, I think it's going to be tough for them to make up those games. I think the longer and longer it goes, it's going to be tough. I mean, if it's like 8 weeks, like they said, and it comes like April, I think there's a possibility that they can make up those games, maybe agree to 75 instead of 82. But I definitely agree that the NBA should cancel. I don't think they should be like the WWE. I think the difference is Rudy Gobert actually contracted it, and the NBA is once someone contracted it in the NBA, like Christian Wood did, and those players in the NBA, and Donovan Mitchell did it, it's going to be over for the league. They're going to take the best case scenario once a player in their sport gets it. And I think it'll be the same with the WWE.
Yeah, they'll probably have to test a lot of players if you know, Christian just has it, maybe someone else in the Pistons team, because I know they played against each other a couple days before once Rudy found out. Breaking news, Kyloo, Giants sign former Panthers cornerback James Bradberry for 3 years, $45 million with $32 million guaranteed. What are your thoughts?
I think it's good for them because they definitely give DeAndre Baker some help. He definitely struggled last year with the Giants, so I definitely think that's definitely going to be a good move for them. They just need to stockpile a lot of defensive players this year. Danny Jones, give that receiving crew some help, and also address their offensive line.
Justin, do you love it or hate it?
Well, I think it's a good move on the Giants' part because the biggest thing right now, of course, they have needs all over the place, you know, like McConaughey here just said. But the biggest glaring need is defense, and they got to bring some help in. So this tells me that they're really willing to take care of that by bringing him in. So good for them and good for him.
I've been reading some news that the UFC fight between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson is still going to go on as scheduled. It's planned on April 18th in Brooklyn. I don't know if there will be fans, but Justin, should it go on?
Well, I mean, if there's not any fans there, I mean, I think that helps. I mean, prayerfully, hopefully by, you know, that time, things will be tremendously better, so the risk will be lessened somewhat. But like I said earlier, if the WWE can do it, I don't see why the UFC can't as well. So, you know, why not? And unless something happens and, you know, one of the fighters contract it, you know, don't do it. But, you know, like I said, if one organization that is fairly similar can do it, you know, why not the UFC?
Kyloo, last words.
This situation is very fluid, but I don't think that fight's going to go on because the mayor of New York and the governor both said that there can't be crowds over 50, and it's a state of emergency, and those venues, Barclays Center, I know specifically in Madison Garden, they said it's not going to be open for months. So, and unless Dana White can make that work with the mayor and the governor, I don't think that's going to be go on.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty tough, and especially in New
York.
You
don't think that they do it without fans in attendance, or?
Well, they said that the arena is going to be the arenas in New York are going to be closed for months.
Complete shutdown. Interesting. Even Justin, even if there was no fans, I mean, how many trainers or how many people the media would be there? It'd be like around over 100, maybe.
I mean, possibly, but you know, if you watched SmackDown this past Friday, they didn't have a bunch of crew or a bunch of cameramen or a bunch of media. They had very few people there, you know, and they still made the show go. So I mean, they could employ the same concept here, but I mean, the thing is, I mean, you have to be very cautious. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying it from the standpoint of one organization was able to do it, then it could possibly happen with UFC. But you definitely don't want to take a risk and put somebody, you know, in harm's way. So I mean, it's just a terrible time, and the fact that we're having this conversation is just it's heartbreaking.
It is. Let's stick with the NFL business, right? It's a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, we're all over the place here, man.
We're all over the place. Anyways, it's been a great show. We'll definitely have more shows this week. We have Engraven Vids. He is a Ravens YouTuber fanatic. We'll have him tomorrow morning. He'll talk a little bit of what's going on with the Ravens. Justin Riley, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Joe Thuney?
Well, can we pick another subject? You can find me on Twitter at JustinRiley7. And then also you can help me out by becoming a fan of the Sportscast One, because a lot of times I'm tweeting with our handle there. And then I'm also on the Instagram as well, helping the sportscast at the Sportscast One. So you've got three different places that you could possibly discover me.
And we're back on Facebook for now. I think I just started a page today again. It's called Sportscast One, facebook.com/sportscast1. So hopefully that sticks.
Yeah, good luck. Hopefully it won't tick somebody off again.
Yeah, exactly. We'll pray the best. And Kailu, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about AJ Green?
They can reach me at Kailu Borden 12 on both Twitter and Instagram, and I hope everybody stays safe.
And there you have it. You can go on to thesportscast.net. Thesportscast.net will be updating the website throughout the day and throughout the week for any new signings of teams that are franchise tagging players or re-signing players or doing some trades. A lot of things going on. And, of course, we'll have Tyler on later this week talk about what's happening with the NFL scouts, any trades, some trades of the draft moving back and forth, up and down. And then don't forget about tomorrow, our show at 9 a.m. with Engravenvich. He is a Ravens fan. He'll talk about what's going on with the Ravens. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on to the Sportscast.
And glad to be a part.